What is going on, everyone? AP over here at Rumpier Sports, bringing to you, like we always do each and every week, the Lineup Builder Show with our partner SaberSim. As always, I got my guy Jordan in here. Jordan, what's going on, my man? How are you doing on this fine Thursday?
Yeah, I'm doing good. We pushed a big update here to the late swap this week. I've been teasing it for the past couple weeks here on this show, so really excited to have gotten that out. Good opportunity to dive back into a little bit of NBA here on this show, just because obviously a sport where late swap is so important. So pretty excited to break this down and talk about it a little bit here today.
Yeah, I'm really excited to dive in, learn more about this new feature and this new tool. One thing that I've also added, so over at Rumpier Sports, first off, hit the like button, hit the subscribe. Secondly, if you're not a member, we're going to go through many different reasons why you should be. You can check us out for a week, for a month. Use the code AP15. That's going to get you 15% off your membership over here at Rumpier Sports. But Jordan, one thing I've been doing is I've been adding the heat map and the heat map core plays to the player pool in here. Like if you go back to yesterday, I believe it. They should be still be up there. So this is going to be something that we can talk about. And people, all right. So I was answering a few questions in Discord, and they were saying, "Oh, I can't fit all those plays in." That this core is not a traditional core. This is just all of the what I feel are the best plays that you can build around. On the slate. So, and obviously they changed. So when Tillman wasn't starting, you know, I would have gotten off that. So it's something that throughout the slate, you gotta, it is difficult to manage. That's something that we're working on because these plays can change as, you know, we hit the different lock times. But that is a new feature that we're working with, adding in the player pool and the core plays. So something that you can use in conjunction with these new late swap features as well. So excited to hop in and break it down.
Yeah. And right off the bat, I mean, let me show you guys something. So yeah, we got the core from yesterday in here. So if you wanted to just add a very simple.
And what I was, so like I thought I had Xavier Tillman unchecked when he wasn't. So we all thought he was going to start. He didn't. It must not have pushed through on my end. That news came in late though. And most likely didn't matter if you jammed in some of those Nuggets values that popped up.
Yeah, and one thing I was going to say, so we've got like 8 or 9 guys in here. So let's say you wanted to set up just like a basic rule and say, hey, I want at least 4 of these guys in every lineup. You can actually do that really easily here. So add a new rule. We're going to add a group, and it'll be an automatic. And we'll basically just say here, use at least 4 players. And in the requirements, we're basically just going to say here all the way up at the top that the core is from the heat map. And that's what awesome. Is really cool about this too, is since we're just saying use at least 4, we're not saying, you know, jam 8 guys from the core and just 4, right? When we save this, it's going to still let the sims work for you here a little bit. So in this particular case, let's say you got the rule set up, you can see after lock, the new sims ran and Xavier Tillman wasn't as good of a play anymore. It's not going to jam Tillman in anymore because you might be able to get 4 different guys here from the core that are better plays after we got that starting news. So it's kind of a nice way you get to use the cores. You get to tell SaberSim, hey, I want to make this a focal point of my build tonight, but you're not locking all these guys in and you're still letting the sims help make some decisions on which 4 of these guys to put in each lineup. So really just a couple button clicks here and then you basically got the core directly in your build. So very useful. Oh.
I see Trey Jones down there too. I love that feature and I want to start. So the PGA heat map, one thing I do is I have my percentages there. So you're going to see like the core play tag player, my percentages are on the low side, 35% of that player. And on the high side, 70%. I'm capping everyone at 70%. I was going back and forth with one of our members and he was asking if you could use that same concept with NBA. And I think you can, I really do. And that's something I'm going to tinker around with most likely tonight, tomorrow, just to see how it works. But I love these features. And looking at Trey Jones got off to just a solid start yesterday, like 22 DK points in the first half. And then he got popped in the second half and was hurtful. But anyways, let's carry on. We got a nice slate tonight. Thursdays during NFL, you know, the slates were 3 to 4 games, but now, you know, we don't have the NBA is not competing with the NFL anymore. So we've got a 6-game slate tonight that looks really good. It's going to be perfect for late swap. Just looking at the heat map that I have set up. So we get four lock times. That means four different starting times for different games tonight. And I think that's important to know. And one reason why it's good to use the heat map and to look at that, because then you can coordinate it with late swap and everything. So let's go through. I'm going to kick it right over to you. Let's do our normal process. And I'm going to let you teach us all how to use this new late swap feature.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and dive in. So, I mean, first things first, you know, before lock, we got to get some lineups in before we start late swapping. So what I always recommend, this is every sport, we do it every time we do this show, getting started with the base build here, right? And basically, there's a lot of data on the screen here. We got projections, ownership projections. You're looking at the cores and the heat maps, right? It's hard to get an idea of just kind of what the slate looks like as a whole. So I always recommend starting with the base build here. You know, we can do something here, like maybe for the 20 max, the $4 or something like that, I think is a good starting point into some of the multi-entry stuff here. We'll just get an idea. We're going to run default settings. I'm going to increase that pool up to 1,500. So we have a lot of lineups to play with here. And just get a build started. And we can get an idea of, you know, who are some guys we're getting a lot of exposure to? What's some chalk that the Sims maybe don't like? You know, how spread out are we? Just a good way to get a general overview of the slate. What I would recommend doing is run this build ahead of time, you know, before the show that runs before lock or before you kind of start looking at the heat map and just see, you know, what does it look like? Where are the discrepancies between what you're seeing here and what you're hearing on the shows or what you're seeing in the heat map? It can be a good way to get an idea of where maybe some injury news is here, right? I haven't even really looked at the slate, but you can tell Brooklyn's popping here a little bit, right? Good matchup up against the Pistons. Kevin Durant's still out. I imagine there might be some other injury news there. And you can just get a sense of, you know, what kind of plays, what kind of lineup constructions the Sims like before you start going any further here.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that Brooklyn is popping. They're on the second end of a back-to-back, but this matchup against the Pistons is awesome. They're playing at such a fast pace. I mean, the Bucks like put up almost 50 on them in the first quarter last game. There's no defense played at all, and the pace was just incredible. It's going to be the same thing tonight too. Another thing, and I actually might start adding this in, we got the flow chart core in there, or core plays. If people want it, I could put the flow, the heat map. I could put the flow chart plays in there too. You know, if you want to use that same concept for flow chart plays. And what I'm getting at is it's a nice spot for the Nets tonight. Kyrie, a flow chart play. Nick Claxton, a flow chart play. Ben Simmons, a flow chart play. And then, I mean, you could even add in Seth Curry there too. It might be kind of a, I mean, can we really, you know, rely on Curry to do what he did? I mean, 20 shots in 16 minutes is incredible. So Seth Curry is always going to be in play in tournaments for sure. But I like how things are looking with this cash build early on.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, I think it was at least last time I checked 7 for 10 from three last night. So probably not going to repeat that. I don't know, even though what he ended up finishing, but quite a nice percentage there. But yeah, I mean, popping as a value play here. I also like to take a look and just look at the chalk here and see, you know, who are the highest owned guys. And this will change throughout the day here as we get news breaking. See if we're over or under the field on some of these guys. We'll see where some fades start to open up. So just getting familiar with the slate here on this base build.
But, yeah, I like that. And yeah, tournament build, not cash build. So
yes, I like that. Yeah, so this is the tournament build. I think running the cash build is fine as well. In this case, you just go here.
Yeah, let's see what the cash build looks like.
Yeah, let's take a look at those top 500 here and just see. So the difference of this build here is basically you're turning the Sims off, essentially. You're building just pure cash lineups based on the average projections, the top overall lineups. You'll get a sense of kind of what the field is going to do here and, you know, what other optimizers are going to give people here.
Yeah, it looks like this build's going a little and slow. And in tournaments tonight, the other team that we can target and attack is the Knicks. They're just having so many problems defensively right now. And the thing about the Celtics, man, no one likes to play them because their prices are way up there, which makes them just incredible tournament plays. Tatum at 11-2 it just caps his ownership because he's never going to pop and like his projection kind of standard. I guess I didn't see what you guys have him at, but probably somewhere right around 50. And at 11-2, he's not going to hit anything in your builds. And so that's going to cap ownership. Same with Jaylen Brown. Maybe it's Derek White that, you know, 5'9" Derek White, though. I mean, man, it's all going to cap ownership. So there's a lot of interesting spots on this slate. It just makes for a really strong tournament slate. And then the late game are two teams that how do we trust? Like, how do we trust the Spurs? How do we trust the Clippers? I mean, I might be avoiding that game and loading up early, but we'll see. We will see.
Yeah.
And so what should someone do when sometimes it's here's what's happened for me. When it seems like it's a little slow, mm-hmm. I often will just like stop it and just refresh my browser real quick and then redo it. And that usually fixes it for me. But if someone else is out there and having that same issue, because normally when you're running these lineups, it's super fast.
Yeah, and so that is a difference between the GPP and the cash builds. The cash builds do run a little bit slower just because what we're actually mathematically finding the perfect highest optimals you can. It takes a little bit longer for that calculation to take place. I think you got the right idea. If you have a build that's running a little slow, stop the build, refresh the browser. And then the one other thing you can do as well is if you're in a time crunch, this red reset is always kind of my best friend here. If I'm running into trouble, just go ahead, reset this. This is going to reset your settings, so you should be aware of that. But a lot of times the issues I see people run into when they've got a build that's really lagging is that they've set some rule or some exposure somewhere along the process and without realizing that it's actually conflicting with something else, causing that build to bog down here. But we do have the top 50 optimals here now built, so we can take a look. I mean, I think this is a good thing to look at here, right? I mean, you've got Claxton, Kyrie, and Seth Curry showing up in 100% of the top 50 at least here. I would probably take the over on all of these ownership projections, at least at this point in the day. I think these guys are probably going to be a fair bit more popular. A little bit of Dallas showing up there in those cash builds as well. So just an idea of where the field's going to go, you know, what the people you're competing with in your contest are going to be doing with their lineups.
Yeah, that's really interesting. You're seeing that top optimal there. Four Nets. You got Paul George in there too. Mm-hmm. 8,500 Paul George. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense, especially if he has to have a pretty nice projection and good matchup against the Spurs. So I can get on board with that. I like it.
Cool. Yeah. I think let's bounce back here to the home screen here. So I'm curious, AP, you know, from your perspective, have you been making a lot of adjustments in the home screen or what does your NBA process look like here?
Yeah. So my process is pretty simple. It's, you know, I go game by game mm-hmm. and I break down each game and that's what I apply the color or the tags and the heat map to. And then I make sure that when I'm adjusting projections, usually what I'll do is I'll average out the RPS and the Saber. So I'll just average those out. I'll see if there's any, you know, massive differences between the two. And then I'll look into understanding why those differences might be there. But then I go game by game. Let's just click on the Nets real quick. I really like this matchup. Yeah. Detroit's been playing at a very fast pace, and they're not playing any defense at all, which is kind of surprising because when we think of Dwayne Casey, a guy that likes to grind it out, wants his guys to play hard and everything, this team has no ability to play defense. And it creates a really good fantasy environment. So I like Kyrie. I think Kyrie's just playing at an insanely high level. I'll bump him up. I'll bump him up 2-3. He already has a nice projection. So another thing, too, is like, wow, you know, the industry's already very, very high on him. Mm-hmm. With this type of bump, since I think the industry's pretty, you know, your projections are pretty on point, I don't need to go overboard with the bump. So I think 2 points is fair. Nick Claxton, I really like. And the price tag, like what he's doing right now in the paint, and it's a good matchup. Like Jalen Duren is a good defender, but he's young. Nick Claxton's going to be able to get it done here. I think it's a good matchup for Ben Simmons too. You know, if you're a box score watcher, I mean, Philly yesterday, they were throwing everything at Ben Simmons. They were very physical with them. Everyone was giving him elbows. They made sure they wanted to punish him. So I think while he didn't have a good game, I think it's a great spot. That's one I might be like a 31 projection on a $6,700 player. It's not going to hit many builds at all. Mm-hmm. That might be one. If I end up really liking Simmons here, I might bump him. I might get even more aggressive with him. So it is what I do. I go through and basically make these adjustments. When I look at Seth Curry and Royce O'Neal, that might be a situation where I create a rule. I want one or the other. I don't want both of those guys. Just given the position that they play and I think it's kind of an either or. So you could do, or you could just do that with projections, or you could X them out, or create a rule, just like Jordan is doing here. So that's one thing. That's one thing I'll do. Then the other thing, so since we're kind of adding some bias to this, which I like, if you go to the Detroit side, it gets a little tougher, but just looking at it, Jalen Duren is a guy I would give a few bumps to. I know Isaiah Stewart might be back. He's missed quite a bit of – okay, so he missed two games, played two games, then missed the game against Milwaukee. Still, it looks like he's not going to play over 30 minutes. So the path for Jalen Duren to play some nice minutes there, I think we could give him a bump by a point or two just to get a little bit over on him. And then the rotation on the Pistons side is a little bit tougher to deal with. I kind of like Jaden Ivey. Like, if Killian Hayes was out again, and let me pull this up. I believe he is. Okay, so Killian Hayes is going to play. It's Corey Joseph that's out. I mean, I'll probably just leave those guys alone. The guy, the adjustments I do want to make is on the Boston side. This is a good matchup against the Knicks. The game's going to be competitive. We got to do something with Jason Tatum because he's not even going to come into the, you know, he's not going to hit any builds at 48. This is one I might get very aggressive with, bump him by like 7 points or something just to see. And then I also want to bump Jaylen Brown, but at the same time, Jordan, I want to create a rule. I want one or the other. These are two guys that rarely ever do we see them positively correlate with each other. It's like either it's a Tatum game or a Brown game. Rarely do you get both. And so I want to bump them both up, but I want to have a rule to where it's one or the other.
Yeah, I love
that.
What
is the correlation? Is it – yeah, see, it's a negative.
It's his strongest negative correlation, right? Yeah, so I mean, really useful. You can pull these – click these player names and pull up these distributions and correlations and kind of get a sense of that too. And, you know, I think it's a good opportunity to check that too. Like, you know, if you have a sense of two guys that are negatively correlated, click one of those names and take a look. And I think it makes a lot of sense to set that kind of rule, especially when you're talking about these guys' upside situation when Tatum is scoring, you know, hitting his 95th percentile, scoring, you know, 65 points. What does that mean for Brown? It's going to be hard for him to get there as well. So I like that kind of rule there.
Why do you think, this is across the board, Tatum's projection is always just so low compared to, like, I mean, look what he's done. 71, 73, and then there's a 46 and then a 60. Is it because he does have a floor? That's a problem. Is that what's happening with kind of a standard projection on Jason Tatum?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I actually, just to be totally transparent here, this is a guy that we're kind of aware of that I think we do have a little bit of a bias towards the floor on him. One thing we have started doing this NBA season is in the afternoon, our models team and our data scientists are kind of doing now a manual review process of different players here and making some adjustments. That happens around, you know, 5 o'clock Eastern every single day. So this is a guy that I actually would expect our projection comes up throughout the day as the data team starts digging in a little bit closer. But I'm happy to be transparent about that, right? No model's perfect. That's a guy that we are kind of aware that we're typically a little bit biased towards the under there. So I like the idea of giving him a little bit of a boost on Tatum.
The one other I would look at is Malcolm Brogdon, just with Marcus Smart out. Now, he's missed two games. This would be more of a tournament play because he's going to come off the bench. But prior to missing the games against Orlando and Miami, we saw minutes of 35 against the Warriors, 34 against Toronto. So with Marcus Smart out for a little while now, or he's going to be out for a little while, I expect more minutes potentially from him and from Derek White. But that would be another one where I'd create a rule. I'd say one or the other. I don't want both White and Brogdon in my lineups. And it could have been additionally, he was I'm looking at it. Brown played 41 minutes against Toronto and then 41 against the Warriors. So, yeah, the thing I just like about Boston is you get a tight rotation. You need the good game environment, which I think we get. Like, the total's low, 223. But, man, I just see them putting up a nice number here against the Knicks, and I think the Knicks keep it close enough to where this is a good game. And then on the other side, I think Randle, I think you could fully play Julius Randle. I think you can play Jalen Brunson. So I have a ton of interest in this first game right out of the gate. And then I'm just – for late swap purposes – you know, it is a tougher late swap slate because Cleveland always makes for a tough matchup. They like to play slow. They like to play defense. I think it's a tough spot for the Rockets here on a back-to-back. They can make things just with the Rockets style of play. And I think it's going to be tough for Şengün. He's been a beast, but you got Jared Allen, you got Mobley now in the paint. It's not going to be an easy matchup. We saw that when Gobert was in the game the second time they played the Wolves. And then we saw an easy matchup last night. Shout out to JSU, very high on Şengün. So was our guy Lox. Those two had him in their core last night. Awesome plays. Şengün put up a nice triple-double for 63 DK points. So I'm going to be under on Şengün, though, just given the tougher matchup here against the Cavs. So I'm looking at, I think the Mavericks is interesting, but again, that's all Luka. You could look at Dwight Powell, THJ, I'm always under on Dinwiddie. I mean, I don't know. I think I'd almost rather take a shot on like Derek White and Malcolm Brogdon. So we could just play some hypotheticals since we're trying to do a late swap thing. Let's just say maybe, like the Spurs randomly rest someone like a Poeltl or something like that. And like a Zach Collins pops and Zach Collins is 3,700. Again, this is hypothetical. Poeltl, there's no news on him or anything like that. It's hypothetical. But if Zach Collins got in there and was starting, or, I mean, he's already been playing 22 to 24 minutes anyway, and he's been highly productive in the minutes that he's in there, he'd become an absolute smash value. Romeo Langford's been questionable. He could miss again. And if he does, that gives a guy like Josh Richardson a bump. So there are some plays in that game that you could potentially go to in a late swap situation. Maybe though, like, I don't like messing with the Spurs. They're just very frustrating, but yeah, I'm just trying to think about different scenarios that where late swap would come into play.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned Poeltl. I think there's a decent chance that he's a guy that ends up getting moved at the deadline, or as we get a little bit closer here. It seems like they are being very cautious with his minutes now, maybe kind of getting a little bit of a lesser role in that rotation. If you were going to throw out a random name to just get late scratch from this game, I don't mind that here as a guy that we could at least test late swap with. But I think what we should do here, we've got a good sense of at least some of these games here at the start. I think we should kind of run a build here now, simulate filling the entries out, and then maybe pretend that a guy gets ruled out and we can kind of go forward and talk about how we'd late swap it from there.
Let's do it. I like that.
So yeah, let's jump back here. We're going to go ahead and get our settings back set. I'm going to build another 1,500 here.
Let's run. Should we run 150? Or does, sure, it doesn't matter for late swap, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I think my biggest contest I'm entered into is a 20, but yeah.
Let's just do 20 max. It still applies. It's the same thing.
Yeah, let's build. We'll do that 1,500 pool. We've set some rules, made a couple adjustments here, and let's see just how things are looking here.
That the $4 20 max, is that what you're talking about?
I basically just entered some dummy lineups before we hopped on the stream. I do like that contest. I think that's a great way, especially, you know, if you're used to playing 1, 2, 3 lineups a night and want to dip your toes into the multi-entry stuff. I think that's a great contest. 15K to first most nights. So a pretty good way to get started there.
It's such a great contest. And I mean, look, it's a great way to learn multi-entry strategy. I mean, if that's what you're playing, $80 a night, you know, you're not going to get yourself into trouble doing that. And if you ship, it's usually 15K up top. So, I mean, the payout is very, very, very nice. All right. So what are we getting? How do we see, is there any way to see, actually, I don't think there is, but it would be really cool to see a breakdown of your exposures by lock time. I don't know if I'm just feeding you guys more ideas or anything.
It's a good idea.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
It would be very interesting.
See. No, so at the moment
you can do it by team, right?
You can, yeah. So if you wanted to see, you know, we made some adjustments to Boston, right? I think it's a good opportunity. So we're still not getting any Tatum, no Brown here in our top 20, and we bumped those guys. So I think this is a good opportunity here.
Jordan, look, you're only getting 7.8% in your pool out of the 1,500 that we ran. So unless like more news hits or projections change, they're going to just make for such good tournament plays tonight.
Yeah, and let's say we want to get some of these guys, right? I mean, 5% projected own, I think that's actually reasonable, maybe up to 10, and we want to get a little bit of him in our pool here. We can do that, right? Set that. We'll go through the pool 1,500, find the best 20 that are listening to all the exposures. If we want, we have that rule in place now here, so no Jaylen Brown and Tatum together. So we could do something like, hey, we want to be heavy on these guys, 30% to each. And if we go in here, we know because of that rule we set, we're never going to get both of those guys together. So pretty useful there. I think it's a good idea to go through and check, you know, some of these teams here, some of these guys, and make sure that you're getting some exposure to some of these plays that you bumped up if you really want to make sure that they're getting into your lineups here. So one quick thing, we do have a small visual bug here where the color indicators aren't showing up for the guys that we bumped. That'll be fixed here this afternoon. So gotcha. Noticed that yesterday. That'll get fixed here. So you'll be able to see the green and red for the guys that you bumped up and down. We could take a look at Çengün here real quick and see, you know, we wanted to kind of be under there. We dropped his projection. So, you know, one lineup out of 20, I feel comfortable with. So good idea to always do a little bit of quality control here in this phase.
Can you sort it real quick by our exposure?
Yes.
Just want to see what we're... Okay, perfect. So, I mean, one thing I would consider is, I mean, maybe capping Claxton at, let's just say, 80%, 70, 80%, something like that. I mean, in golf, I use 70% as my, you know, top-end cap.
Yeah, that's
there's
a good
no,
way to...
I mean, in NBA, it's different. Like, sometimes, I don't know, there's just certain plays where you feel they're absolute locks and you can just lock them in. It would have been like a TJ McConnell the last few slates, but... on these slates like last night, Kay Fallick brought it up yesterday in Discord. There was just so many elite guard plays, and so he made the stand to fade TJ McConnell and ended up being a good fade. He just, you know, he got Rick rolled by Rick Carlisle. So
yeah, and I like to use this value column here as well. I think this can be a good idea of just seeing like how good is the elite value on that slate. I mean, you know, 6x value, it's a nice play here, but we'll get NBA slates with guys that are, you know, 7x, 8x, 9, 10 times their salary at the mean projection. Those are the guys that are a lot harder to fade. I am totally fine capping exposure on a night like this, where at the moment, it doesn't seem like there's a ton of elite value here, just guys that are maybe slightly underpriced. So definitely makes some sense there. So,
but yeah, no, that's a good, I actually like that, sorting it by value and then looking at your exposure percentage. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, one other thing before we fill these entries here, we can talk about late swap here, is you can also use the min uniques a little bit to kind of see how resilient are these exposures to diversity, right? So if we go in here and say like, hey, you know, give me three unique players per build, you can see like sometimes guys will start dropping off really quickly when you do that. Other times, even when you increase this higher, they'll stick around and you can kind of tell, you know, who are the guys that if you really push SaberSim to like, how diverse can I get my lineups? We always make sure to stay in there. So you can see, I mean, the Nets value is pretty resilient here. It's staying up there even as we increase min uniques. Some of those Dallas guys, though, starting to drop down a little bit more. So maybe a little bit more. I like to think about it as like resilient value on the Brooklyn side. So another interesting tool there.
A good question by AJ Davidson. I don't know if you have an opinion on this, but how many uniques should you be using for a tournament build? And I think it might be different when you're talking 20 max versus 150 max.
Yeah, so it's gonna depend a ton on how many lineups you're playing and then also your personal risk tolerance or strategy here. So I would say the fewer lineups you're playing, the higher I would want this to be. So if you're playing, and we can actually show this here. So if we're just playing three lineups, just as an example here, and I'm going to reset my exposures here because I don't want them to interfere with this. So let's go ahead here. And you can see we could probably increase this min uniques here even to something like 6. And then scroll down and we'll see that, you know, the third lineup in our pool is only lineup number 69 out of 1500, right? Sorted by SaberScore. This is still an elite lineup and we're getting 6 different players in every lineup. But if we were playing the full 150 here, right? I changed this to 150. SaberSim's going to be like, no, that's not going to work, right? You can't get 6 right. unique players in 150 lineups. In that case, you know, we might be closer down here to something like 2 min uniques, just making sure we're not playing any lineups that are just 1v1s against each other, still getting a little bit of diversity. So what I like to do is set this to the actual number of lineups you need. And I typically like to increase this a bit here and just see what is the worst lineup in my set that I'm actually playing here. And in this case, 3 min uniques, 20 lineups, I'm only at lineup 34. I'm pretty comfortable generally going, you know, to about like that 25% or 50% point into my pool to get diversity. So I might be up at something like 4 or even 5 on this slate. This is literally just what I do. I'll keep increasing this here and just see how deep into my pool am I getting. Around here feels about good, right? I'm at lineup 314. That's top 20% of my pool still sorted by Saber score. And I'm getting a lot of diversity here. When the contest ends, no matter whether I do good that night or bad that night, I want to see that my lineups were kind of spread out across the contest as a whole. I don't want my lineups to all be grouped all the way at the bottom or all the way at the middle or anything like that. I want a nice spread. And that's the way I play, but different for everybody there.
And you make a good point right there at the end. It comes down to your style. You know, if you want more of a diverse approach, which is perfectly fine, then yeah, you can increase that if you're comfortable. And it's slate by slate for me too. Some slates, I really like the matchups. I feel very confident about rotations, minutes, and where production is going to come from. Whereas other slates, I typically might not have a strong read on, like tonight, like the Spurs Clippers. I mean, does anyone have a good read on those two teams? I would say no. And I would look through each matchup. I mean, Cavs are a tough team to attack. It's a tough spot. It's gonna create a lot of randomness there. Mavericks, I think they're a simple team to break down. Everything goes through Luka, and then one or two peripheral pieces max. I think it's a very easy team to break down. The Bulls, whenever they're healthy, they're tough. We do have a flowchart play in Vucevic bigs against the Hornets, but still, when LaVine and DeRozan are healthy, and when Vucevic is when all three are healthy, it makes it a tough spot. The Pistons rotation kind of tough. So a lot of it depends on the slate too. Sometimes we get really good matchups, and I'm fine with kind of having, you know, a tighter player pool and less uniques per build. So really it comes down to many different things, personal preference, the slate, how comfortable you feel with it, matchups, and what your overall goal is, you know, and what your risk tolerance is as well. So
I think it's a really good point. The more confident you are in your angle, I think you can also definitely justify making this lower. If it is a slate where you're like, hey, you know, I don't have a read on this as well, or there's injury uncertainty and you just kind of want to be spread out, that's another good time to increase this. But I think let's go ahead here and say that these are just our lineups that we're playing before lock. We'll fill these and then let's talk a little late swap.
I like that.
Cool. So
walk us through this. What's the meme? Like, explain this to me like I'm 5.
Yeah, so I think this is really useful here. So we'll go ahead and jump in. So once you have your lineups, you're happy with your lineups, you're going to click this fill entries here in the upper right. And I've got entries loaded here of some contests I entered into this morning. If you haven't loaded your entries yet, instead you're going to see something that looks a bit like this. It's going to say upload your entries file. This is super easy. I think there's a lot of people that don't even realize how easy this is. All you do, if you click this, it's going to download the file straight to your computer. You can go ahead, upload it. Apply. In this case, it's going to say it's going to overwrite because I already have things loaded in there. And then we got our entries in here, right? From there, all we need to do is click fill all entries. In this case, I'm filling 20 lineups into 99 different entries. So I'm just going to duplicate that here. And we're good to go. So now we'll go ahead, download and open DraftKings. It downloads the file, takes you right to the right page on DK. Same thing on FanDuel or Yahoo as well. And you can get this uploaded. So literally, I mean, just a couple clicks. I know there's people out there using SaberSim that are still messing around in CSVs. And I mean, you really don't have to do that. It is really nice. The entry editor is really smooth there. So we got our lineups in play here.
That's me, yeah. Jordan.
You got to use the entry
editor. I'm the donkey that does that.
It's so nice. And I know, I think a lot of times it's like nobody wants to make a mistake at the last second when they're filling their CSV. I would say just try it once, like 4 hours before the slate locks, when there's no risk of messing something up. And the first time you get it, it's like, wow, this is so much easier. You can also, you know, if you like to do fill different entries with different builds, you can get kind of granular there. You see all of our different builds are showing up here that we've ran here, all that kind of stuff. So entry editor is really nice there for that.
So I like that. And I like how you can uncheck certain builds if you want to. So different contests and everything. I mean, that's very helpful because even when I've multi-entered in the past, I'll still have my main kind of three builds, and it's easy to then adjust because I can uncheck those and I know those lineups aren't getting messed with.
Absolutely. Yep. All right, so let's simulate like late swap here now. So I actually think, you know what we should do? I think we should let's just pretend it's Paul George that ends up getting ruled out here. Again, we're making it up, right? We're not calling this, but let's just pretend. I know he was in some of my lineup, so I want to use him as an example here. So let's say suddenly projected for zero, right? So really cool thing happens up here right off the bat. This thing, I'm going to actually, I don't need to do it again. It turns red. It shakes a little bit here. And it's saying you have players that are out in your lineups, right? So I always recommend checking before the start of each game. Come back in here. Make sure we're double check if this is red. If this is red, first things first, you don't want to take a zero. You come over here. Paul George is out. Replace all out players with the best available guy. And that's just going to make sure that you at least have guys that are playing in all of your lineups here. One thing that's really cool about this compared to the way DraftKings and FanDuel do this is you don't have to select a player to swap George for in all of your lineups. We're actually going to go through and find, based on the salary available and the positions available, the highest projected guy on each lineup. So that can be very useful there. We'll click. Oops, I already did that. Oh, dang it. I messed it up now. Let me reset this here. I pressed the wrong button here. Hang on. I messed it all up.
I didn't even see what you did.
I clicked apply twice. Here, okay. I'll fix this here. Let's go ahead and fill these back in and download and go back to the home screen and do this again. I lost track of what I was doing here. Okay, so
Probably do when you actually are live doing it, right?
Yeah,
versus basically, like simulating a late swaps environment.
Yeah, and honestly, I think this apply should just be grayed out once you click it once. So we can do that. But then the swaps
is that done. A problem if you click it twice? Like what happens if you do that?
I don't think it is a problem. I think you just lose the summary of what changed.
Gotcha.
But there we go. Now we have no Paul George, right? So good news there. But now we want a late swap, right? We want to actually, you know, obviously what's probably going to happen here, you've got Kawhi Leonard's going to get a boost. Norman Powell's going to get a boost. Like all of these guys are going to get some kind of boost to reflect the usage from Paul George getting shared and the minutes get shared to these other guys. So this is kind of where the fun starts with the new feature.
I'd bump Kawhi even up even more.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, some of these
there you go.
Absolutely. So what used to happen with late swap is we would take all those lineups that you had in your entries from before and rebuild each one once. So you basically, the builder, the Sims would get one shot at rebuilding each individual lineup. And you'd kind of just have to hope that that was like the best possible swap you could make.
One other guy real quick, go back. Cause I think this is a really interesting play tonight. So guards against the Spurs has just been a printer, is Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
So they've been bringing him back kind of slowly and he played 28 minutes last game. And he's super cheap. So if Paul George was out again, another guy that is really going to pop, you would think, and especially in this matchup.
Yeah. So we've got, hypothetical Paul George gets ruled out here. We come into late swap. When you open up the build, so how do you get to late swap, right? That's a common question. All you have to do is click this new build button. If it's during the slate, we'll automatically detect that it's time to late swap. In this case, I'm going to turn this toggle on because it's not during the slate. And you'll basically see this. It'll look very similar to what the pre-lock settings look like. So you can select what lineups, what contests you want to swap. I'm going to just swap all of them here in this particular case. You can change any settings you need to if you need to here. I'm going to leave this alone except for increasing this pool size back up to 1,500. And what's going to happen here now is instead of each lineup just getting swapped once like it used to do, every lineup in your 20 here is getting swapped basically 1,500 divided by 20 times. You're basically giving SaberSim multiple shots to rebuild each lineup to find what the best new version of that lineup is here. And look at this, right? In this hypothetical, now all of a sudden we're getting... Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick, talk to us about the main difference of what it was before this new change and what it is now. Like before, you could only do X number, like the exact number of builds that you already had, correct?
Exactly, yeah. So this pool size here didn't even exist before for late swap, right? It was, there just wasn't even here. You would, your lineup out of 20 would get swapped once each. Every lineup would just get rebuilt once.
Yep.
On the practical side, right, the reason why that kind of sucked, why that was a pain to deal with, is because then you couldn't do anything in the build screen. You couldn't edit exposures. Right. You couldn't change min uniques. You couldn't filter your lineups. You couldn't, delete dump lineups. All the cool stuff that you can do before lock, you didn't used to be able to do when you're late swapping, and now you can. So if you come over here, right, and you run this build and you're looking at this and like, hey, I love these Clippers plays, but I don't want to be all in on Reggie Jackson. There's a little uncertainty there. You can do the same thing you can do before lock now and cap his exposure here. And it'll go through and find the best late swapped lineups here now while matching all those exposures. If you want to, you know, we talked about min uniques. If you want to make sure these lineups are diversified here, right? You can diversify your lineups with the min uniques here and do stuff like that. So really useful. It's also just going to increase the quality of your lineups, right? Without you having to do anything, your late swapped lineups will be better now because it's not swapping once and hoping that the lineup is great. It's swapping, you know, however many times and finding the best possible swap of each original lineup. So
this feature is just so awesome. And one reason why yesterday would have been a perfect slate for it. So like sometimes on the core plays page, you'll see on there fading all the seven Eastern games. That won't be the case tonight. But last night, taking Kay Fowlick, for example, in his core that's on our site, it said fading all of the Pacers, the first game, even 90% chalk TJ McConnell, which, you know, we all thought was a lock. But, you know, Kay Fowlick sharply understood that there was a lot of really good guard plays. And so what you could do, if you ever see that on the core plays and you're multi-entering, you could literally just X out that game, get your builds in so that they're locked in there, and then start running this as news is hitting. I mean, wow, that's a game changer right there, and it makes it really easy. So, like, if it was yesterday's slate, you would just press you'd X out that first game because it was on an island, and then you would your new main lock would be that on there, the 5:30 time. So now it's, you know, now you're working with that. Or you could take it even a step further. Yesterday was kind of unique where then you had, I think it was five games starting at 6 p.m. on your time, but at the 8 Eastern window. You could make that now your lock time essentially and still have that same build process. So really interesting. I love this feature. I think it's a game changer for multi-entry for sure.
Yeah, it's really nice. And I know it's not the flashiest feature, right? I could say that it doesn't visually, nothing really changed here in the app. Kind of looks the same, but it's been a long time coming. It'll make the quality of your late swap lineup so much better.
But I think getting control over, you know, having more control over that everything in step three, like your percentages to each player, your allocations and everything is just huge. Before it was tough. You had to go back, readjust the settings in step one.
Exactly.
And so it was just more of a tedious process. And then for me, I would always end up clicking some, you know, wrong button, and then I would have to start over. So this is huge. Absolute game changer, in my opinion.
Well, and I know another thing that people, you know, to get your lineups late swapped the way you want, a lot of people were having to set a lot of min and max exposures before the build. I really don't think you have to do that anymore. In fact, I'd probably recommend at least trying not doing that. Make the adjustments, take your stands with some of the player projections, right? Set some of those rules we were talking about to make sure some of those negatively correlated players aren't showing up together. But you have so much flexibility and so much freedom here with these exposures after the build that I think it's just way easier, way faster, way smoother to do all this here. And then we can do things like, I mean, I guess it's not a good example because he's in the first game, but let's say Tatum played at the same time as this Clippers game. And you're looking at this and you're like, I still want to be getting to the Tatum here. I don't want to sacrifice my whole angle just because of this Clippers value. You can still do stuff like that here, right? You can still bump that exposure and get to those guys.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Just looking at it next Thursday. So we're going to be covering NBA for a little while now. But next Thursday, looking at the slate, February 2, you have a ton of different lock times. So the first game is an island game, Lakers, Pacers at 6. Then you have a 6:30 lock. You have a 7 lock, 7:30, 8, 9. I'm talking central time, my time zone. Jordan, this could be, you know, I don't know what your schedule's like, but that might be the perfect slate to actually do this live. And, you know, we can take you through kind of that late slot process. So something that we'll talk about if people want to see kind of this live and us, you know, adjusting the show to being after our Up to Lock show, which I'm on Thursdays anyway, it could be the perfect slate to do this with.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, with this new feature, I would basically just swap before the start of every game, right? You have nothing to lose. You know, even if you just get a slightly different starting lineup on one of these teams than expected, and a guy, you know, ends up getting two additional minutes from the projection, in NBA, that matters, right? That can have a big impact on his projection, gives you a little bit of additional angle there. I personally swap before the start of every game. just because I want to capture all of that stuff as the new Sims are running. Even if it's not major news, like Paul George getting ruled out, minor stuff like that, it always matters. It adds up to building your edge in your lineup. So I swap that, before the start of every game.
That's sharp. So I think that's a good plan for next week. And I say that because we've got 15 more minutes-ish. I think we got a huge weekend Sunday. I'm so pumped for this game, this slate. AFC, NFC championship. We gotta look at these builds, man. My take on this slate is I think the Bengals Kansas City game plays kind of ugly. And I think both games good. And so I think your projections are just gonna be really important. Like at the quarterback position. If you click on KC real quick. So I think when you look at KC, we got it, you know, Mahomes, I think it's a fine projection there.
Mm-hmm.
Kelsey, they're going to pepper him. I think Kadarius Toney is going to be very, very important this weekend. Like I would have him at like 11 or higher. And I'm under on Juju. I think McKinnon flop leg. Like I think we bump up. I think both running backs, Pacheco and McKinnon, are both in play. So I would give them bumps. I would keep Mahomes where he's at. And then Kelsey, maybe 20. I mean, though, like it's just going to be a target share type of slate. Like I think it's going to be grinded out. And I honestly think it's like one of these slates where I might just like lock in Jalen Hurts. Because like we know Jalen Hurts is going to – he's the one quarterback on this slate now with Mahomes hobbled. Like Mahomes is going to be running. Mm-hmm. Burrow doesn't run very much. Jalen Hurts is just like – I might just lock him in at quarterback, and then I'm not gonna like correlation. I'm gonna keep at zero. Like I'm gonna have my sim slider up higher, but correlation, I want those raw points to hit my lineups, and I'm not worried at all. I like ownership fade a little bit, but then sim diversity in that 6 to 7 range is kind of what I'm thinking. Correlation down and then ownership fade is kind of fine, but I'm really curious to see what the builds look like this weekend.
Yeah. Let's run one here. Made a couple of adjustments, see what we're getting out of this. I haven't looked too much into the slate here. Super excited for this weekend. I like the Hurts call quite a bit. I'm interested to see kind of how the ownership breaks down for the quarterbacks as well, and just where Mahomes ends up. I think he's an interesting play if he ends up not being the most popular quarterback, which I don't think he will be.
I just think if you go back and look at any time these teams have played, the one mistake that Kansas City makes is I don't think they need like the Mahomes magic in this game. I think you turn the script on. One thing the Bengals are so good at is controlling the game at the end and making sure at the end, the fourth quarter, that they are putting themselves in a position to win and making sure that the other team is limited as far as like opportunities have. I think the Chiefs need to flip the script on them. I think they do that running the ball. And I think this offensive line, Kansas City's look good. I think they are going to be able to move the ball. I also think Kansas City's D-line is going to be able to get pressure and make things difficult on Burrow as well. So, and I think just thinking back through past games, one adjustment that Kansas City did make is bracketing Chase, limiting him. We've mm-hmm. seen Higgins, Boyd, others, Hurst, be guys that benefit from that as well. I think P. Ryan is also in play. We saw that last week too. So this is just a slate where I'm trusting these playoff guys. McKinnon, I know he was a bust last week, but I'm telling you, he's gonna be in play this week. P. Ryan is gonna be in play with how they were using him last week. They're gonna need like. So one thing that the Bills couldn't do is they couldn't get any pressure. I just think the Bills have been broken for a little while now. They had guys coming off the street on defense. I think you throw that game away. But if you go back to the game before that against the Ravens, they made it very difficult on the Bengals. They got pressure on Burrow. So they're going to need Piran in there, in my opinion. He's the better pass blocking back than Mixon. So. Sprite Soda, who wins? I mean, you know who I'm on. I got the Chiefs winning. I mean, it's the Mahomes as a dog. I locked that in +1. That's an incredible value. You never get value on Chief lines either. So I was sitting here rambling. I didn't even see what the builds look like.
Yeah, so I was making some adjustments here as you were talking. It's another cool thing that you can do here in these builds, right? Is, you know, maybe you run the builds, you start to see what they look like, and then you're thinking, oh, well, you know what? I want a little bit of P Ryan in there, or I want to be under on Chase. So as you were talking, I was just bumping up projections up or down. I gave a little love to T Higgins and Tyler Boyd here, assuming that Chase does get that double coverage here. We can give P Ryan even a little bit more of a bump here and get a little bit more exposure there. And I mean, you see over here, you start to get a pretty nice build with that Hurts stack. Some of those names you threw out here. We've got the Bengals D, which I think is an interesting play if you're going to assume that Mahomes is hobbled at all here. So yeah, very useful to even just bump projections in this build screen.
Yeah. The other thing too, is I think the 49ers, I think it's a spot where if we were stacking or worried about stacks, it would be the Jalen Hurts to his receivers there. Because I do think the 49ers, you can attack over the air. Tough team to run on. I'm under on the – outside of Jalen Hurts rushing, I'm under on the running backs for Philly. But, man, Philly looked good. I know it was against the Giants last week. Fraudulent team. Sorry, Giants fans. It is what it is. but I do think Hurts through the air is interesting. And then the thing about the 49ers that's tough is they just have so many guys that, like, you got CMC, but Eli Mitchell looked really good. Those two could kind of split work like they did. You got Debo Samuel. And so, like, I see myself making rules, like Kittle or Debo. Ayuk is kind of like, if he hits, he hits. But then McCaffrey or Mitchell. Like, I think the 49ers make for a good team just to set these rules where you don't want multiple of these guys in your build. It's kind of a one or the other. That's like the one team where I think it's kind of difficult to break down. But I see both. Like, I don't see either game. Just if you think back to when the Chiefs played the Bills, where that full game stack was just what shipped everything. You know, in the last 2 or 3 minutes, I don't see any type of game environment like that in this AFC and NFC championship. Both games are going to be grinded out. You're going to want raw points. You're going to want guys that show up in the playoffs. That's my theme for this week. And that brings guys like P. Ryan into play, McKinnon in play, Debo Samuel, you know, in play, Kittle, again, in play. And it just makes the slate interesting. Like, that's where, like, I'll have Mahomes just because, you know, this might be an opportunity to get Mahomes at incredible leverage. I might have him in one or two.
There.
I don't know what happened either. My it just like logged us out. So yeah, I mean, we're running up on time anyway, Jordan. So that was everything just went to shit there.
Yeah. I don't know. I was gonna say, you know, one cool thing, it might be a good week, especially if you are kind of playing an under angle on these games, is experiment with dropping these team totals down a little bit too. I think, you know, even just taking each team down by, you know, a point and a half. And just say, you know, you like the under and play for a little bit of a slugfest here and see what some of those builds look like. I think that could be a kind of an interesting angle as well.
Yeah, I like that. But no, it's gonna be a lot of fun. Do you have any takes on the games? And then we'll get out of here.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit. I like the Chiefs. I'm on the Chiefs as well. It would be a situation where I maybe even like them like -3, which is what they opened at. I think before we got a lot of the Mahomes news there, I think there's a lot of recency bias here on that Bengals game. I think everybody, you know, we got the news that Mahomes had the ankle sprain, right? And everybody over adjusted. And I don't think people are correctly adjusting back to the fact that he participated fully in practice this week. I mean, you know, recovering from an ankle that quickly is tough, but if we're going to trust at face value the injury report, then we got to trust at face value that he practiced in full. And I like the Chiefs stacks this week, especially. It just seems crazy that in a 2-game slate, it seems like Mahomes is going to be the third most popular quarterback. So that's my direction right now. That's the way I kind of like playing these builds.
Yeah, it would have been fun if DraftKings would have lowered his price, but they're not going to do that with Patrick Mahomes, just because it would have been interesting to see where he falls. But yeah, I think he's going to be very loaned. I think Hurts is, and that, you know, I go back. Maybe our leverage is moving off Hurts. I just think gosh, it's with Hurts and his rushing upside. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's going to be an interesting week. It's going to be a week where maybe you do go the full leverage route. Maybe that's the difference maker. Like if Hurts fails and one of these other quarterbacks go off, that could be the difference maker right there. So it is a really interesting two-game slate, and it's going to be a ton of fun on Sunday. Man. And Spencer Smith, yeah, I don't know what happened either. I thought I was high as well when that happened. On my screen, it just literally – I've never had that happen in StreamYard before. I don't know if you – have you, Jordan? Like, it literally just something –
No, I don't know. Connection. I thought my internet went out or something. But, yeah, I don't know. Just a weird glitch there.
Yeah, well – Sprite Soda, we'll bring golf back. We do this every week. We'll bring golf back. We'll dial in the golf winners. Those will be on a Wednesday, though. I do think next week we focus on NBA one more time, and then we do have big golf events coming up here soon. We'll switch back over to golf. I promise that.
Sounds good.
All right, Jordan. Again, if you haven't yet, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. We do have a promo code going on, AP15, gets you 15% off all RPS packages. Check us out 1 week. Try us out for 1 week. There's all the new stuff with Saber. You can use the heat map. The heat map core will be in there. I might actually tinker around adding in a flow chart core to add in there as well. You can also put in our core plays and everything. So a lot of cool stuff. AP15 is going to get you 15% off your purchase price over there. Any final thoughts tonight, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll say if you used Saberson before and kind of got frustrated with the late swap, which I know there are folks out there that did, give it another shot, right? I mean, it's a huge update. It makes it way easier to get what you're looking for. It's a big deal, so definitely give it another shot. You know, a couple things that are on the radar for us as well. We've got the models team digging a little further into NBA, making some improvements there. We're far enough in the season here now where we kind of know a bit more where things stand. So some continued improvements to the NBA projections and ownership projections here through the end of the season. Another thing coming up quick on us here, NASCAR. So we'll have the team working on the NASCAR model, the sims, the projections, the ownership there heading into Daytona, which is, you know, I think just like 3 weeks away here now. So that's something to look forward to as well. I've been stocking up tickets to the Millie contest for that. Always look forward to that every year. So that should be something fun. Maybe in the next couple of weeks, we could even talk a little bit of NASCAR on one of these shows and talk about the model and the sims there.
Yeah, we might have to get Mangone on that one, but no, I'll bring my NASCAR knowledge. Any NASCAR truthers will just make fun of me, but maybe my guy, Matty Ice or Coop can give me some notes, but no, NASCAR is always a ton of fun. That's one where anytime I've maxed out, multi-entered, you got to use an optimizer. You definitely have to. So when NASCAR is here, we will definitely dive in. So again, we got tons of content throughout the rest of the day. Hardwood coming up later this afternoon. We got the Up to Lock as well. Tons of content through the weekend as well. It's an exciting time, man. I can't believe the NFL season went so fast. I can't believe it's almost over.
I know, but it flies by.
We got three exciting games left. You got the four best teams clearly in the league left, and I don't know how you can't be excited. So Sunday needs to get here very soon, and I know we're all going to be pumped for it. But with that, we're going to get out of here. I'm AP. That is Jordan. Hit the like button, and we'll see you next week.